It's so good. I am amazing. It's amazing that we get to celebrate this season. In the time I have remaining, I just want to remind you and just talk about this Christmas season. I know, as Jake said earlier, it could be a time where some of you have some pain. Some of you have some things that are going on, and make this Christmas season, make it feel like that it's that you don't celebrate it. But the truth is that we need to celebrate Jesus because he came and he gave himself for us. Amen. And so with the time I have remaining, I just want to talk to you a little bit about the Christmas season. I love the Christmas season. I'm like Jake. It's one of my favorite times of the year, just because it's not just about giving gifts, but it's about celebrating Jesus. And we have a tradition in our house that we wake up in the morning, Vanessa cooks us a big breakfast, and that's how we start. We start by eating, because that's the only way to do it. And so we celebrate that way. She makes us a good breakfast, and we read the Christmas story together, and then we open gifts, if there are any. And I'm the one usually that's going, what do we get the kids? What is that? You know, because I have no idea, because Vanessa buys all the gifts, and I just hand her the checks. So the truth is that's how it works in our family. And we celebrate because, and we talk about it, we let our kids know, we've been doing it since they were little, that it's about Jesus. Amen? And it's different now that my kids are older, because it's difficult to buy gifts for them because they just want money. You know, they're just like, what do you want? What do you want? Money, money, gift cards, money. Remember when they were so little that you could buy them anything? You could throw a pine cone at them. They'd be like, oh, so great, you know. Or you'd buy the gift and the box, and they would play with the box instead of anybody remember what I'm talking about? They would play. Man, gone are those days. I tried it last Christmas. Didn't work. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me real quick to a familiar passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 9. And when we talk about, again, Christmas, we're talking about Jesus. And when we talk about him, it talks about the fact that he came so that we could have life. And so we have life, and not only does he give us life, but he gives it to us abundantly. Amen? And that's the truth. That's what he's done for us. And in Isaiah, it talks about the fact that he came and he gave himself so that we could have this life. I'm turning there right now. Here's what it says in Isaiah 9. Verse 2, it said, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. How many of you know that we were in that darkness once? We were in darkness, said that we've seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light shined. Thou hast multiplied and increased the joy, and the joy before thee according to the joy in the harvest, and that men rejoice and divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of its burden, and on the staff of his shoulder the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments and rolled in blood, that it shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And here's why. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, say it with me, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's good news, isn't it? One of the things that was so important when I was growing up is his name, talking about the name of Jesus, his name. It's about Christmas. The names of Christmas have to do with the names of Jesus, because he starts off saying, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called. So important. Some of the scriptures and translations, they group them together. They say Wonderful Counselor. And then this version that I has, it separates and says Wonderful, comma, Counselor, the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. And so the wonderful part has to do with the Greek word palo, which means outside of the box, outside of your realm of thinking, outside of anything that you could ever conjure or come up with. And he's that kind of person. And then he's the counselor. How many of you may need a wonderful counselor this Christmas season? You may need that. You may need him to be. Some of you need. Has anybody ever had gotten bad advice? Come on, don't act like I'm the only one. Anybody ever got bad advice? The worst advice I ever got one time was when somebody said, man, you're the man of the house. Go in and tell her what you want to do. It's the worst counsel anybody ever gave me in my whole entire life. It's the worst counsel. I wanted to kill that guy after he said that. Are you a man? Go tell her. What, you're the head of the house? I almost lost my head. And so, but some of you may need the wonderful counselor this morning because you need him to counsel you in your business affairs. You need him to counsel you in your marriage. You need him to counsel you in your relationships. You need him to counsel you whatever that you need, because the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But there's one who will give you the best counsel that you could ever receive. His name is Jesus. It's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God. Some of you here this morning, you need the mighty God. The one who can do things that you can't do, because the Bible says that in our weakness, his strength is made strong, right? He is our strength. He is our very present help in time of trouble. And you need the might of God to step in and do something, the power of God to step in and do what you cannot do. The mighty God. Some of you may need the everlasting Father this morning. I don't know about you, but I need a revelation of his love, the everlasting Father, every day of my life. I had a revelation of his love yesterday. Hey, guess what? I need another revelation of who he is and his love today. And you'll need that as well, the everlasting Father. The Bible says that he's a father to the fatherless. He's a father that'll step in. When we pray, we say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen? And then the Bible says this, that I didn't give you the spirit of adoption, of bondage to fear, but I gave you the spirit of adoption by which it cries out from the inside of you, Abba, Father, right? He gave us a spirit of adoption where we can cry out, Abba, Father. And it's so important that we know that he's our everlasting Father. That means that he's our Father no matter where we are, no matter where you go, he's going to be our Father. And then some of you need the Prince of Peace this morning, and you need the Prince of Peace in your life. He is the Prince of Peace. He says this, the peace that I give you is a peace not that the world gives, but the peace that I give you, and he goes on to say, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to rule your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The Prince of Peace. We're talking about the Prince of Peace that lives on the inside of us, that gives us peace in the midst of the storm. Some of you may be going through a storm this morning. Some of you may have been going through a storm and there's chaos in your life, and there's things that are going on that you just cannot control, and it's turmoil and there's strife and there's things that are going on. I know someone who sleeps in the bottom of ships during the storm and stands up and says, peace, be still to your storm. He's the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called. My mother named me Christopher Darnell McCray. Now, the Christopher part was all right, but the Darnell part I hated. The reason why I hated that name, that part of my name, and I wouldn't let people know, people would ask me what my middle name was, and I would be like, none of your business. And they would ask again, it's like, what's your middle name? And so one of the kids in the first grade found out that my name was Darnell, and he started calling me names like Dumbnail, Doornail, and all that type of thing. I mean, one of the first fights I got into was because that guy called me their name Dumbbell in front of this girl, Shasta, and she I still remember it. I still need free indeed over it today, obviously. And she called me Dumbnail in front of her, and I got embarrassed, and I hit him in Miss Wilson's class. I never forget that. And so the kids in the first grade, they started calling me that, Dumbnail, Doornail. So it got to the point where sometimes they would call that name and not answer. I turn around and answer because they call me that all the time. So I hated that name, really hated it, because I'm like, man, there's so much in a name. So I asked my mom about it. She goes, the reason why I named you Christopher, because I named you after a relative, but I also named you Christopher because it means Christ follower. I'm like, well, that's great. So every time I call your name, I'm saying that you're going to follow Christ because there's so much in a name. And I said, well, what about the Darnell part? She goes, that part is after a relative too. I'd be like, I'd like to shoot him. Whoever that is, I'd like to find out, why would you name me that? And so she just said, I just named you after him. So I hated that name until I looked it up one day and found out what it meant. Here's what it means. It means hidden. And it means jubilant personality. And it means one who sows and reaps greatly. And one who enjoys people and loves people. And it said, and one who is joyful and causes his joyful exuberance to spill over into others. One who has the gift of gab. It actually says that. It says that, really. I was just like, wow. I don't know if that's a gift or not. Until I looked it up and found out what it meant. And so my mother said, I called you Christ follower and one who sows and reaps greatly, who has great joy, exuberant joy. And the McCray part means favor. So I started looking that up, and I was like, that's who I am. So every time my name is called, that's who I am. And my mother would do it greatly, because when I was in trouble, she would say, Christopher Darnell McCray. And then it spilled over into when I got married, because my wife would do the exact same thing when I would spend money and spend more than I was supposed to. And one day she called it out. She goes, Christopher Darnell McCray. And I just stopped in my tracks, and I just like, yes. You're laughing, but I want to tell you something. Every time you call upon the name of Jesus in the middle of storms or crisis, or you call on him because you just want to say thank you, what you're saying in essence is saying he is the Prince of Peace. He's a mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He is the Ancient of Days. He's my Redeemer. He is the one who delivered me out of all my trouble. He's the one who loved me and lifted me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on the rock. He is the one who gave me the mind of Christ. He's the one who bless me in the city, bless me in the country, bless going in, bless coming out. He's the one who's gone before me. He's the one who ordered my steps. He's the one who has given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. He has blessed my soul, and his name is Jesus. He's wonderful. He's the counselor. He's the mighty God, and he's the everlasting Father. Amen. Amen. And his name shall be called. And so when we call upon his name, when you're in this Christmas season and you think about that, know that that is his name. Amen. Christmas. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. When I was a kid, we used to sing this song. It's an older song. And it says this. It goes, Jesus, 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 something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Kings and kingdoms will all, yeah, they will, but there's some, sing it, about that name. How many of you agree with that? Something about the name of Jesus. It's Christmas season, and his name shall be called. Won't you stand with me? I'm going to pray a blessing over you. I'm telling you, there's something about the name of Jesus. There's something about who he is, and he's the one that we celebrate this Christmas season. So, Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, we celebrate you. All the songs we sang today, all the dance, all the things that we did today, we just want you to know that we love you so much. Just go ahead and tell the Lord you love him. We love you, Lord. You're so good in every way. And we know that you're working all things together for our good. In Jesus' name. And while you have your eyes closed right now and just thinking about, just put your mind upon who Jesus is. And you're here this morning and you're with family. And you're thinking about the fact that, yes, that performance was great. I know that I felt his presence. I know that he's good. And I want to tell you right now that he's in this room. You didn't just come to church just because somebody just asked you to, or you're like, it's just family. You're here because you're supposed to be here. So I'm going to say that to you first. So just keep your eyes closed just for a second. And I want to ask this because I know there's relatives here, but you may be here this morning and you don't know that name. You don't know who the person is who we're talking about this morning. You're thinking about the fact that, man, that was great. This is good to be here. But you may be away from God this morning. And you may be at a place where you really don't know who Jesus is. Or maybe you've heard about him. You've seen things or you've watched things that have to do with him, but you really don't know who he is. And I want to take some time this morning, this Christmas season. I wouldn't let another season go by, another day go by, not another minute, not another hour go by without knowing who Jesus is, without knowing who he is, this one who came and died for us and gave himself for us. And you're away from him this morning, and you want to receive him this morning. You want him to come in and be your Lord and Savior. And to bring you back. Maybe you're at a place where you knew him at one time and then you've fallen away and you find yourself away from God this morning. I just want to pray for you. I want you to take this time to receive the anointed one, the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, the one who saves us, who picks us up out of the miry clay and set our feet on the rock. You can know him this morning. If that's you this morning, I just want you to just, while all the eyes are closed and head bowed, would you just lift your hand just right where you are? Just right where you are. You're just away from him. You feel like you're away. Okay, you put your hand down. You put your hand down. I want everyone to pray with me this morning. I want you to say, Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for coming into this world and living this life and giving it up for us so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for dying on the cross, being buried, and raised from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Your word says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, that you would come in and save us. So we thank you, Lord, that you are Lord. I confess that you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And give the Lord a hand clap this morning.